Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that engages us this morning is the reading we just heard. And I want to begin with a question. And the question is what do you think about the resurrection and what do you think about end times? We're coming up, we've passed the last Sunday of the year, which this was a reading, and for the last several weeks, all of the readings have kind of been end-timey, right? Reminding us that Jesus is coming, and when he comes, something is going to happen, something remarkable, something outstanding. But for a period of my life, and a little bit still, this event was absolutely terrifying. Terrifying to think about and something that I tried to push out of my brain. Now, it might have been because my idea of the end times were slightly shaped by Hollywood. Anybody else? Just me? Oh, no, I know you guys. And if you haven't seen this movie called End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is kind of how I thought the end of the world would be. Now, this is set in December 1999, if you haven't seen the film, by the way. Some spoilers. But set in December 1999, and in essence, there is this cop who has lost faith because of the tragedy of losing his wife and daughter, and he has to save this young woman who's been tortured by Satanists because Satan himself is looking for her to become his bride. And if he gets her pregnant by in between 11 and 12 before the year 2000, he can bring about the end of the world. Absolutely terrifying. And other movies like this where there's an epic battle where Satan actually has a chance of winning, where if things go a certain way, those of us who have faith might lose. I didn't really want to come, Jesus to come. I would say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but deep down in my heart, I didn't really mean it. Let me live my life so that I don't have to experience demons crawling around the street and Arnold Schwarzenegger running around trying to save my life. That is not very comforting to me. And then the year 2000 came. Nothing happened. So obviously, End of Days wasn't right. And then there was a period of time where I had this picture of eternity, kind of where you die and you're like an angel resting in the clouds. You're this disembodied thing existing for all time. And I have to be honest with you, the idea of existing forever without a body slightly is disturbing to me. I appreciate my body as broken as it is. You probably wouldn't guess. I have rheumatoid arthritis, so I look for a day where I don't suffer from this chronic illness that causes me pain every day. But nonetheless, the idea of not having a body forever is disturbing. And the problem with it is, though, is that existing without a body isn't completely untrue. For those of us who die in faith, fall asleep in Jesus, and for a time, we exist peacefully, without pain, without sin, without our body. And while there is comfort in that, it's not quite complete. There's still more to the story. There's still something else that has to take place. And so I don't want to stop there, especially because I know too often people in the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe even you at one time, have ended the story there with you dying and existing eternally, maybe as like a little cherub, I don't know, but however you picture it, but nonetheless incomplete. It's not quite good enough, and it doesn't really complete the story of Jesus. Now, Paul, writing in his letter, is reminding the Corinthians of the resurrection, and not just some mythical resurrection, not some partial resurrection, and not just the resurrection of Jesus, but their resurrection, that one day Jesus will return and they too will be resurrected because, surprise, surprise, they didn't fully believe it. And I, for one, at times, I can kind of understand where they're coming from. You see, Jesus came into the world. He did die on the cross. He was risen from the grave. He ascended to heaven, and people saw it. But of course, not everybody saw it, and it's hard to believe in things that you yourself don't see. But also, he said he was going to return. So imagine we got to this point in my sermon, and I said, I'll be back soon, and I walked out of the pulpit. How long would you stay and still think that I would come back? 1 minute? 2 minutes? What if I was gone for 10 minutes? Would you just continue on with the service and just say, Pastor Glenn stopped in the middle of his sermon and he's not coming back? I think so. And if we read the New Testament and we hear the words of Paul and we see the actions of the other disciples in the early church, I feel confident in saying that I think that they thought Jesus was coming back soon, and by soon, maybe tomorrow. And then years pass, and years pass, and maybe when he was talking about the resurrection, he was talking about something metaphorical, because he hasn't yet returned back. So this resurrection of the body thing that he has promised means something else. And we should just go about living a morally decent life, good enough that we can embrace and have whatever he was talking about. But Paul reminds the Corinthians, and he reminds us, that there is, in fact, a resurrection of the body, of which Christ is the first fruit. And you see, for me, that is key. You know, first fruit is something that has a biblical grounding from a long time ago. You see, when the harvest was collected, the first fruit belonged to God. And again, in a childish way, I used to think that God just wanted the best stuff. I mean, he deserves it, right? It does all belong to him anyway. So giving him the first fruit doesn't really hurt us. But in reality, the first fruit validates the rest. It qualifies the realness of the rest of the thing before God, and it makes it presentable to him. And so Christ, as the first fruit, validates us. If you want to call us the leftovers, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being the leftovers if, in fact, being the leftovers means that I'm validated before God because of what Christ has done for me. And so living in this world, framed in this reality, that my idea of soon might not be God's idea of soon. And what I used to think about the resurrection isn't really what Christ meant, but meant something deeper, meant something better. It makes it a little less terrifying. Because even now, broken and sinful in this wounded and half-good body, I'm still validated before God today, even though the event that he's promised hasn't yet come into fruition. And I don't need an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie to let me know that the world can at times be terrifying. All you have to do is take a quick drive up 170 from south to north, and you will have a thrill ride of your life. At least three or four times, your life will be in mortal peril, I promise you. Okay, a quick tangent. One time I was going north. My parents still live north, and I was driving up their middle lane of 170. I'm a middle lane kind of guy. And there's this awkward exchange at 70 to get to the airport, and somebody jumped on the airport and went from right lane to airport exit on the left in about 0.34 seconds and missed my car by about 6 inches. That's the kind of thrill ride I'm talking about. But there are other things in the world that make it terrifying, and it's easy for us to lose hope. And in this place where we're constantly in God's Word, trying to learn more and more for us, and trying to perfect this thing of being able to teach God's promises to people, imagine what the people we're teaching are feeling as well. Because if you think that the people you're going to have a firm grasp of the resurrection, surprise, surprise, just ask them when you get there. I promise you, not all of them will. Some of them might, but you're going to get some Arnold Schwarzenegger end of days answers. You're going to get some Platonistic pie in the sky cherub wing answers. And if you ask them if they're terrified of what might come, they'll probably give you the answer you think you're going to get is the answer is yes. So brothers, that's the task. Week in and week out of preaching God's word to his people in its entirety, law and gospel, but comforting them in the midst of this terrifying world. That even though our bodies will inevitably, most likely die sooner than later, that's not the end. That in fact, Jesus is raised from the dead. And because of our baptism, we have not only shared in his death, where our sin has been conquered and died for all time, we also share in his resurrection. And not an abstract one, but a resurrection just like his, where there will be a new creation, a new earth, and we will have new bodies like Jesus. And it's in that we will live forever. And comforted with that knowledge, that this isn't the end, and the end isn't terrifying for me because I have life in Jesus, it's not so scary anymore. It's not so terrifying. It's only terrifying in the fact that I know and love people who don't yet believe in the resurrection. But brothers, while soon is near, it hasn't yet come. And there's still time to share with the people who don't yet believe in Jesus that they too can experience a resurrection like his. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.